All right, take your Bible and open up to the book of Proverbs. Let's start there. Proverbs chapter 13 will be our text. We will turn to about 8 or 9 passages tonight, so get your fingers ready. This is Wednesday night Bible study. We are in the middle of a series entitled, What Does the Bible Say? I've been talking to some of my preacher friends, and they too have preached series similar to this, where they lay aside some time and just look at some topical things and subjects from God's Word, and maybe focusing especially on what the Bible would say about these, not only to be a blessing in the moment, not only to be a blessing in our lives, but also to be informational, helpful in your study and as you witness and minister to others. And so I want to speak tonight on what I believe to be a very difficult subject. I hate to use the word balancing act because we have the Word of God, which is truth and which enables us to know good, solid, secure footing. What I find sometimes as I relate to this subject in my life personally, and I'm sure you will find this in your life too, that it's a little bit of a balancing act. I've seen it go horribly wrong on both ends. I've seen it go wrong on what I'll term it as maybe a liberal end, and I've seen it go wrong on a conservative end. I've seen it offend the gospel, and I've seen it ornate the gospel. I've seen it bring wonderful beauty to someone's life, and I've also seen it bring much ugly to someone's life. Really, truthfully, it has to deal in the area of relationship and relationships. I think this is a topic and a message for all of us, no matter where we are in our life, in our relationships. But I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of what does the Bible say about the company you keep, the company that you keep. You may not have given much thought to the company that you keep in your life, or the people that surround you in your life, or the people that you spend time with in your life, but God has a lot to say about the company that you keep in your life. And I'm not talking about when your in-laws come to town. I'm talking about the relationships of our lives. As believers in the Lord, we really face this subject from two sides, because we find ourselves having to relate to the unsaved world, and we find ourselves having to relate to the Christian world or to the believers. We find ourselves, and I have found that the Bible warns us about danger on both sides. And so you may not think that the friendships you have, the company you keep, the circle of friends, the acquaintances, the clubs, I don't necessarily mean the night kind of clubs, but different kind of clubs or things that we're involved in have much influence in our lives, but they do, and they have much power and opportunity. Look, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 20. I think you will find that there's a pretty good truth here and a warning here. He that walketh with wise men shall be what, class? Wise. But a companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. If you talk about polar opposites, you're talking about wisdom and destruction. You're talking about walking with wise men, and you're talking about walking with fools. And so the Bible's warning is that both of these type of people, both of this kind of company has influence. And make no bones about it, whoever you hang around with, you have the opportunity to be influenced by. Now, hopefully, Lord willing, that you are the influencer, not the influencee. But it has that capability. So if I want to know wisdom, then I want to hang around wise people. If I want to know godliness, I want to hang around godly people. If I hang around fools, then the Bible says that I have the possibility to be destroyed. You know, wrong place at the... pretty good statement. There's a reason why that statement is so prevalent in our society. There's a reason why that statement has been passed down from generation to generation. Let me ask you a question. You ever been in the wrong place at the wrong time? Anybody in here look back at a moment in your life when your life could be vastly different because you were in the wrong car with the wrong person or at the wrong situation? Is there anybody here? I know sometimes in my life when I think, man, it is only by the mercy of God I made it out of that car. And, you know, when you're 16, 17, or 18, you're not, you think nothing can ever happen to you until it happens. Now that I'm a dad, I look at my kids, and they don't think anything can happen to them. I ride with them, and they drive like nothing can happen to them. But life is fragile, isn't it? So fragile. And the people we hang around with is part of that. And so I want to show you some things tonight and kind of help us walk this balancing act in our lives. I was flipping through the book of Proverbs. If you go to chapter 22, there's some general people. There's three of them mentioned here. This is more of a introduction kind of situation here. We've come to this verse a lot in Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. It says, make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man thou shalt not go. Lest thou, what's that phrase, class? Learn his ways. It's interesting, the angry man doesn't learn the way of peace. The writer is warning us about the peaceful man becoming angry. He says, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. The Bible says that the company you keep ought not to be angry company. It's dangerous for you to hang around angry people. You're setting yourself up. You're placing yourself in a position where not only you can suffer physically, but your soul can be snared. You ought to look at the people you're hanging around with. If someone is carrying tremendous anger, you ought to distance yourself a little bit from that. Go, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 23, the next chapter over. Look, if you would, at verse number 20. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to what? Poverty. And drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. You know, he's talking about here not just the position of alcoholics. He's talking here about people who are excessive. The people that always go too far. These are the people who are absolutely given over to their flesh, especially from a position of alcoholism. It talks about here that it leads to riotous. You know, you ought not to keep drunken company. Well, Pastor, they're my friends. Well, invite your drunken friends to church. Okay? Be careful about that. Man, I pray that my kids don't get in some drunk fool's car. Am I the only parent that prays that, or do you pray that? Say amen if you pray that. Go to chapter 29. Look, if you would, at verse number 3. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. But he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. Once again, we're talking about a man here given over and consumed with the flesh. We're talking about a man here consumed with immorality. The Bible would tell us that it's dangerous for us to keep company that's angry, that's alcoholic, and that's given over to immorality, consumed with their flesh. These are dangerous people. These are dangerous for you to be careful about that. You say, well, Pastor, as a Christian, anger and alcohol and immorality, that pretty much sums up the whole world. Now, here's where we run into a problem. Now, stay with me. Don't lose me. Nowhere in this Bible will you find that God ever instructs Christians to shun the unsaved. Nowhere in the Bible. It does teach us how to be careful in what we need to, how to position ourselves there. I need you to understand 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I beg you to look there. Please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 because Paul gives us a wonderful balancing act here in the company we keep. Paul even addresses this very subject, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 9 and verse number 10. Verse number 9, he says, I wrote unto you in an epistle, that would be a letter, not to keep company with, say that word, fornicators. Now, fornicators would be people given over to immorality. You understand that's outside of the bonds of marriage. Now, watch his understanding here in verse number 10. Yet, not altogether with the fornicators of this, what's that word, class? World. Okay, now what's he saying there? He's saying, now listen, I understand the world is the world. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. All right, so what's Paul saying? Well, Paul's telling the Christian, now I wrote you a letter, and in this letter, I told you not to keep company with this type of person. Now, he's not saying that we just all go and buy some parcel of ground and have some Christian community, or that we go to the negligence or the shunning of the world. He's not saying that. Matter of fact, Jesus even didn't say that. But he is talking about this aspect of keeping company. This word keeping company that you find in verse number 9 carries with it the idea of mingling together, to coming into a close habitation. Now, as a believer, you and I are to have some contact with the unsaved world. Matter of the fact, Jesus had contact with the unsaved world. Jesus was known to eat with sinners. Jesus was known to attend weddings. Jesus was known to be in sinners' house. Matter of fact, that's how the Jewish legal department, the Judaism people, they wanted to nail him with that charge. And so Jesus knew how to relate to the world. Now, in relating to the world, he didn't do what they were doing, but he knew how to be in their presence. He knew how to attend their things. However, when the Lord Jesus wanted to keep company, he would withdraw himself with his 12. He would withdraw himself with the believers. And so there was a balance even in the Lord's life. Yes, he was salt and he was light and he was a witness to a lost and dying world. Yet when it came time to keep company, he knew that he could not keep company with that aspect because there was no agreement there. Now you need to learn something with this, and I need to learn something here. At work, we're with the world. You have family that's unsaved. You have friends that they do these kind of things, and relationships build there. And we're not to pull ourselves away from that, but there is a difference in keeping company as opposed to attending or being something there. If you understand that, say amen. Okay? Now, close, habitual association needs to happen when there is agreement. Now remember influence and the ability for that. Hold your hand right here. We're coming right back. Go one book further to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And here's Paul giving more instruction about this. You know this verse. Verse number 14. Be not unequally yoked together with, say that word, unbelievers. All right, now he's talking to the Christian here. So if you are a born-again child of God, we are commanded not to be unequally yoked together, contractually put together in a partnership with unbelievers. Then he asked this question, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now, don't think for a moment that Paul is putting down the unsaved person. I got news for you. Apart from Christ, I am the unsaved person. And so are you. So he's not saying they're filthy heathen dogs and you're better than them. I'm no better than anybody that's ever walked the face of the earth. The only good about me is Christ. You too. But here's the key. Look, if you would, please, at verse 16. And what? What's that word? Agreement. There's the key. There's the balance. See, I don't have total agreement with an unbeliever. Now, I'll fish or golf with anybody. If you're willing to risk your life, let's go. And we can relate on a habit level, or we can relate on a sporting level. And I can go to a game and sit down and watch a game and everybody around us being a big cheering section or whatever. But there's a part of me that is indwelt by the Spirit of God that is only in the believer. And there's not total agreement there. So I have the ability to relate into that presence of those unbelievers, knowing that I'm different than them. Now, my goal and your goal when it comes to unbelievers on any level ought to be to win them to Christ. But my friends, God says, when you want to keep company, close, habitual association, there should be agreement there. Be careful about that. Come back if you would to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the balancing act here. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 11 to 13. In verses 9 and 10, he has said, well, I have written to you, and speaking of how to deal with the world. And by the way, let me just say this. The world is not going to understand disagreement. They don't understand me being a believer. They don't understand me being tied to the Word of God. They're not going to understand certain things about why I can't do such and such. For example, girls, single girls that want to be married. A boy comes up to you and he's unsaved. You know, I don't advise you to say, I can't date you because you're a heathen. Okay, but I will tell you this. You can't date him because he's a heathen. And if you were a heathen, I would advise him not to date you. The Bible's still the Bible. Okay. So, if I'm single, boy or girl, and I've got to relate to a world that is approaching me, that ought to scare me to death. Because the number one person in your life that you need to please is the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to fall on your face and you need to pray and beg God for wisdom. God, I've got this relationship, this opportunity here. I don't want to offend you in any manner. I know that I cannot have an unequal yokeness here. But I also don't want to defame the name of Christ. I also am burdened for their soul. God, give me wisdom. What do I do? What do I say? Protect me and protect my heart. and then you move accordingly. Look, if you would, at chapter 5, verse number 11. He takes this into an arena that's kind of surprising here. But now I have written unto you not to keep, what's this word? Company, to not to mingle together, not to keep close association. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, covetous, idolater, railer, or drunkard, or extortioner, with such a one know not to, what's this word? Eat. Now, Jesus ate with sinners, right? Okay, well, Paul says, now you've got somebody in the church. They call themselves a brother. God didn't call them a brother. You can't be a brother and do those things habitually. The Bible says very clearly that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if a man in this church or a woman in this church calls themselves a brother, but this is the distinguishing acts of their lives, you and I are not to keep close association with them. Interesting. He goes on in verse number 12. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges, speaking of the heathen. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that, what are those two words? Wicked person. All right, so not only, now here's a balancing act. God says a lot about the company you keep. And so to an unsaved world, God says, now I understand you can't go out of this world. You got to relate to these people. But you got to understand you're not unequally yoked. You don't want to be unequally yoked with them. You better understand that when it comes to associating with them is one thing, but close association, there needs to be spiritual agreement there. Then he comes over on this side and he says, now within the body of Christ, you also have to be careful. And as somebody calls themselves a brother, and they invite you over to their home or they invite you out, and all of a sudden you begin to see into their life and you begin to see things that don't match the word of God, you need to be careful about that, the company that you keep. I will say this about Plantation Baptist Church. I'm glad that I feel like our church is filled with people that love God and live according to God's word. Are you not glad with that? Say amen. But we need to be careful about who we keep company with. Why? Because we're influenced by it. He goes on to even talk about this in the church. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Paul's writing here to the young preacher boy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. He gives some direction here too to caution us about our company. Not only for those that call themselves a brother, but their lives are different. He says, don't keep company with them. In verse number 3 of chapter 6, he says, here speaking of what he's been teaching, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such, what are those two words, class? Withdraw thyself. Now look at verse number 6. Godliness with contentment is great what? Gain. So inside the church, somebody that calls himself a brother or a believer, but they don't consent to the word of God, they don't consent to the message. That doesn't mean they have to agree to everything, but a biblically based message that is always stirring up questions and strifes with their words, backbiting, gossiping, talking, somebody that's discounting godliness. We as Bible people, we're not to keep company. We're to withdraw ourselves from them. Notice he didn't say to try to correct them. He said, withdraw thyself with them. I want you to understand something, and this is helping our church here, because we got a little bit of problem with this. Not a big problem, just a little bit of problem. It takes a lot of guts. A lot of guts for somebody in our church to come up to somebody else in our church and to do one of these things to us. If somebody has enough gall to come up to you in secret and tell you that they don't believe the word of God, to tell you that they don't believe the doctrine of something, if they are raising questions in your mind, perversions and corrupting the minds and subverting godliness, that takes a lot of audacity, guts, boldness, brazenness. If somebody does that to you, your spidey sense needs to go through the roof. Amen? And Paul had this problem. Now he's telling the young preacher boy, don't try to correct them and too much. You're going to probably just need to not keep company with them. Says a lot about our company. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians is before 1 Timothy. But go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look, if you would, please, verse number 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. All right? So Paul says, listen, if you have a brother that's walking disorderly, you need to withdraw yourself from that. Don't keep company with them. Look, if you would, at verse 14 of the same chapter. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. That's Greek for spidey sense. And have no, what's that word, class? Company with him, that he may be ashamed. Ashamed. It's interesting, that word company there is the word close communion again. Now Paul says, now, if you have somebody and they come at you and they're not obeying the word and they're doing these things, your response to them ought to be, brother, listen, I can't do that, and I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to be part of the doubtful disposition. I don't want to be part of the gossip. I don't want to be part of the perversion of that. I don't want to be part of not trusting the word of God. So, brother, I'm sorry, but we just don't have agreement here, and we're not going to be able to fellowship. Now, Paul says what that ought to do to an honest brother is that would bring them into a shame position or bring them into a repentant decision. Now, if that action there hardens them and they recoil in some aggressive manner, you understand you're not dealing with a truthful person. But if that brings a heaviness to their heart where they're like, man, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm in a sinful position. I let the devil in here and I gave to that and I shouldn't have done that. And I want you to forgive me. Look at the very next verse. Verse 15. Yet count him not as an, but admonish him as a brother. As a brother. Now, I want to say this, and I believe the Lord wants me to say this. You need a spiritual backbone. You need a spiritual backbone. Don't ever forget what the pastor is getting ready to say. The number one person you've got to be worried about offending is your Savior. So many times we get caught, cornered by an individual, and they're unloading on us, or they're saying something, or they're doing something, and we feel the uncomfortability of that moment. We know this is not right. In our mind, our first thought is, I don't want to hurt this person, so just let me get out of this conversation any way I can. But in your mind needs to be, the first person I don't want to hurt is Jesus. So get you a spiritual backbone and say, really? The pastor did that? Let's go talk to the pastor. Really? You don't believe? Listen, brother, I believe that this is what the Bible says. Brother, I believe this about this. And I hear what you're saying, but I don't want any part of that. And I don't think you're right. And I don't want you to ever talk to me about that again. Well, Pastor, I could never do that. Listen, if you don't get a spiritual backbone and you entertain that or you further that or you develop that, what do you think the Lord thinks about that? Well, I'm just not strong enough to do that. Well, get strong. Do a little push-ups. Get your little spiritual backbone to you. The number one person you have loyalty to is not me. It's the Lord. And Paul said, now if your response shames that brother, he's not your enemy. But if that brother goes flying off and he's just appalled and he finds some other one, he's trying to do this or that, then we realize, hey, we've got a problem. We've got a problem. And we want to be careful about the company that we keep. By the way, look at verse number 16 of that same chapter. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Boy, the company we keep ought to bring a peace to our lives. My last one is 2 John. Go to 2 John. That's back by Revelation. 2 John. Look, if you would, at verse number 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not who, class? God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed or God bless you. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his what? Evil deeds. So now John is teaching us about the company we keep. He says, now listen, if somebody comes to your house and they're trying to push another gospel or another doctrine, then you're not to entertain them into your home. This doesn't mean that you don't have unsaved people into your home. If you're a Christian, you ought to have unsaved people in your home. You ought to be trying to witness to them. I'll say this too. This will help us a little bit. Pastor, I'm always being sucked in by the unsaved. Probably, if that's you, the problem is not them. The problem is you. See, the problem is you're probably not making enough about the Lord Jesus. Because every time they came to ask you to go somewhere or do this, if you told them about the gospel of the Lord and you were a faithful witness, it'd be pretty soon either they're going to humble themselves and receive our Savior, or they're going to say, we don't want anything to do with that fool. And they'll begin to distance themselves. And so if people come in and they bring a different doctrine, I'm not to entertain them in my home. I'm not to say Godspeed to them. I'm not to say God bless them. I'm not to keep company with that. And I look in every one of these epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote and all throughout that Bible, and there's this constant warning to God's people to be careful who we hang around. Now, we can't just hang around each other because pretty soon we're going to kill each other. Amen? Okay? So that's why we're to be going out into the world, winning people to Christ, bringing them, discipling them. It's okay if your unsaved people are getting married to go to their weddings. It's okay to celebrate with the world. It's okay to do those kind of things. But man, when you want to have close, intimate fellowship, there needs to be spiritual agreement in that. Pastor, I don't have any Christian friends. Well, I'll tell you this. They didn't have any money and they prayed and God gave them money. Some people in this room couldn't, they needed something and they prayed and God gave it to them. I just believe if you pray, God's big enough to give you a friend. Maybe he's asking you to wait a little bit. Maybe he's testing you. I don't know. Maybe your friend's not gotten out of jail yet and he's waiting on that. I'm not sure. But don't sacrifice or sell the Lord out there. Now there's a balancing act. We can't tell the world you're not welcome with us. They're going to die and go to hell. But I can't have close, intimate fellowship unless there's spiritual agreement there. There's a balancing act. Inside the church, be careful about the company you keep. Somebody says they're a brother, their life ought to show it. If somebody disagrees with the doctrine of the Word of God, be careful. Be careful about that as you're being influenced along those lines. The Bible has a lot to say about the company we keep. And I will say this to you one final time. When it comes to our human relationships, the number one person that has to be pleased is God. Amen? Let's pray.